南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。Hello everyone, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. So great to have you here, listening to these podcasts, watching these podcasts, studying along with me, so that we can increase our depth of conviction and understanding of the practice of Lotus Sutra Buddhism via our most current mentor, Bodhisattva Nichiren. It's been a week, and I missed our broadcast yesterday, and I can feel it. boy, something's going on with, well, as it always is with technology. Microsoft Windows 11 and their browser that they keep shoving in our face, and I was using it for a while, and spent the last couple of days just trying to post the last couple of videos I put up. I couldn't get it to work in Edge or Chrome. I had to end up with a private version of a privacy version of Firefox that requires me endlessly qualifying my logons. But if that's what it takes, and I was able to put them up, and I thought, what in the world is going on? Anyway, maybe it's just karma. Maybe it's just me. But I got those videos up. Will not be deterred. All right. The most profound and secret dharma and fallacies of Nembutsu, Zen, and Shingon Buddhism. Again, if I wasn't, well, I didn't say so, but we're continuing sequentially reading through the Selecting the Right Time Gosho of Nichiren Shonin. And he begins with a question. What is the secret dharma? First, we would like to know its name and then its meaning, please. If there is really such a secret dharma, is it Shakyamuni Buddha appearing in this world again? Or Bodhisattva superior practice emerging out of the earth once again? Please be kind enough to explain it right away. So there's this tradition. My apologies. Still, and I'm surprised even by Nichiren's day that it's still such an inculcated cultural device. But yeah, it's still with us today. People still think magically. They want to put anything that they experience in their mind as an entity, a thing that they can identify with. But this is the nature of the disease that causes all of our suffering and misunderstandings and pain and fear and all of it. And Buddhism was created specifically to knock that out of the way. We don't need to do that. That's the illusion. See past it, through it, above it, whatever adjective you need to use in order to experience the truth. That life is an ongoing, magnificent process of constantly evolving, changing, and manifesting truth. Nothing is static. See, and it's in the very translation here. even though Nichiren is writing this question, he's writing it in a method for those who are listening to him to grasp it. And still, in Nichiren's day, the secret, when we chant, when we invoke Buddha, is it that we're bringing back Shakyamuni, the man, Buddha, in this life? Or are we instantiating a static thing called Bodhisattva superior practice? I mean, this is a very ignorant question in terms of Buddhism. In the Lotus Sutra, 3,000 years ago, Shakyamuni made a point in the Lotus Sutra of saying, you know me as this man who attained Buddhahood, but Buddha isn't me. Has nothing to do with me other than I've achieved it, and so can you. For yourself, do you need to call it Bob Buddha, Betty Buddha, Joan Buddha, Mohammed Buddha? What do you need to call it in order to let yourself realize that your mind's perception has been altered? And that all the stuff that you name, nama rupa, name and form, is a device that we use in samsara to identify. And that's the problem. There is no Sylvain Buddha or Joan Buddha or any other Buddha other than Buddha. That's why you've heard me say Buddha-ness. Just want to make sure, after not recording one of these sessions last week, I keep having to double. Oh yeah, it's recording. Anyway, do you see? So for the question to say, if there is really such a secret dharma, okay, is it Shakyamuni Buddha appearing in this world again? No. No, what are you doing? The reason we use the language that it's a secret dharma is because it's yours. It doesn't belong to someone else. Shakyamuni doesn't own Buddha. He experienced Buddha, just like we all can do. Just like the next part, or Bodhisattva superior practice emerging out of the earth once again. Please be kind enough to explain it right away. And Nichiren's already done that. He's as much as said that he is, well, this translation uses avatar, but it's a personage, it's a characteristic, it's a type. Bodhisattva superior practices or superior conduct is identifying the potential we all have with our minds to behave as bodhisattvas in this world, like this expedient means explanation of behavior in the world, right? One way that you could look at all of the expedient teachings, and I mean everything pre-Lotus Sutra that Shakyamuni taught, was a very elaborate, exhaustive investigation into what the Noble Eightfold Path is. And how to recognize it, how to understand it in mind, all the way to the profound samadhi. The profound samadhi to awaken that Buddha nature is Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. That's why the Lotus Sutra is the culmination of all Shakyamuni's teachings. The Lotus Sutra is, okay, now you understand how the mind works. Now you do this for yourself. Because, like in the Lifespan chapter, he makes sure you understand that you are doing this for yourself, not for me, not bringing me out of the woodwork, not bringing out of the earth. You're doing this in your mind, changing your perceptive, just as I, Shakyamuni, did. You can also do. Simply invoke Buddha in your mind. There's no calling back, no mysticism. No. So this question, what are you talking about? So I'm curious, how is Nietzsche going to answer this question since he posed it? Reborn six times into this world, Tripitaka master Huan Chuan finally reached India, where he spent 19 years to learn that the one vehicle teaching of the Lotus Sutra was merely provisional, while Hinayana Agama Sutras were the true teaching of the Buddha. Again, this is the questioner. Do you see how the question is based on fallacy to begin with? Tripitaka master Amoghavajra, or Pu Kung, returning to India from China, wrote that the Buddha revealed the 16th chapter of the Lotus Sutra was the Buddha of infinite life. That's what he got out of the lifespan chapter. The Buddha of infinite life. Still trying to make a person out of a condition. The condition of mental awareness of Buddha is not a person. It's happening within this apparatus of persons. But it is not a person. It is a realization, a mind-altering, mind-clearing perception of the process of life. Nothing static. Ungluing you from that misguided delusion. Yeah? Theirs were blunders as obvious as calling the east west or taking the sun for the moon. Okay, well, you understand that. What is the use of toiling with soul and body in such a blundering study? Born in the latter age of degeneration, we are fortunate to be able to surpass, without taking a step, those who have been seeking the Dharma for an incalculably long period of time, and to become a Buddha with the noble countenance of the Buddha, without sacrificing our heads to feed hungry tigers. So how is it you're asking, if you understand that, how is it you're asking such a lame question as in the secret law is Shakyamuni Buddha appearing in this world again? How do you confuse the two? You just contradicted yourself in this question. Answer. It is easy to talk about the secret Dharma as it is clearly stated in the sutra. However, it is necessary to point out three serious errors before revealing this Dharma. A great ocean is vast, but will not retain a corpse. The earth is deep, but will not sustain the unfilial. In Buddhism, even those who commit the five rebellious errors and those who are unfilial children will be saved, but those of incorrigible disbelief who slander the true Dharma, Ichantika, and those who pretend to be holy men by ostentatiously keeping precepts will never be saved. I follow the rules, therefore I'm better than you. In fact, they are men of the Pure Land, Zen, and Shingon schools, which are the three calamities. All right, Nichiren. Obviously, he asked the question in this way because that is the duality of thinking that he's having to consider in his time in Japan. In medieval Japan, these teachers of True Land and Nembutsu, Amida Buddha, and Zen and Shingon, they are still very much attached to the worldly universe, to thingifying, to identifying with things, to see things as static, owning them, repelling them, as though that act was somehow justifying their personal existence. That's the trap of samsara. That's the delusion. Your identity is not in things. It's not what you own. It's not what you reject. It's not what you're afraid of losing. That's all attachment. That's not you. That's your delusion. And that's what causes you pain, anxiety, stress, dot, dot, dot. Goodness. First of all, the Pure Land School, Nichiren continues, has been spread all over Japan, and all Buddhists, clergies, and laymen chant Namu Amida Butsu, Namu Amida Butsu, as though they were merely singing a song, right? Chanting and singing. Next, self-conceited Zen monks, with their robes and one alms bowl, fill the land, behaving like leaders of the world. We're the chosen ones. We're the ones who know. We will say profound things. I feel like doing caricatures this morning. In the third place, the Shingon school is worse off still. Shingon monks occupy headships of such influential temples as the Enrakuji Temple on Mount Hiei and the Toji Temple, seven great temples at Nara, and the Onjoji Temple. They insist that although the divine mirror, imperial regalia, enshrined in the imperial sanctuary, was burnt to ashes, they can depend on the finger sign of the great Sun Buddha as the mirror of the Buddha. Bounce, 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 bounce. What do you, huh? What? They insist also that although the divine sword, another imperial regalia, so you can see how they are in favor of the ruling shogunate, right? Was sunk in the Western Sea, Japan can be protected against enemies by the strength of the five great protective deities of Shingon Buddhism. Because our gods are better, more powerful. They've gone the way of religion again. Their stubborn belief does not seem to be shaken, even if a kalpa rock, 10-mile cubic in size, should be worn away by the touch of an imbued one's garment once in 3 years, obviously from some folklore tale. They do not seem to have any doubt about their conviction, even if the earth should turn upside down. They'll just believe. This Shingon school of Buddhism has not been introduced to China yet. When Grandmaster Tendai refuted the three southern and seven northern masters of Chinese Buddhism, it's a Japanese-born thing. It was also not present in Japan when Grandmaster Dengyo chastised the six schools of Nara, so you haven't heard it discredited yet, because none of our historic learned men, bodhisattvas, had to contend with it. Having escaped its two strongest enemies, Shingon Buddhism is just about to destroy the true Dharma of the Lotus Sutra. Moreover, Grandmaster Chikaku, disciple of Grandmaster Dengyo, having sided with the Shingon school, destroyed the Tendai school on Mount Hiei. So that's what happened. And converted it to Shingon. Oh my God. He took the perfect teachings of Tendai, which admittedly now aren't relevant in this latter day, but still, the lineage is there. And he turned it into this magical, mystical mystery tour of the Shingon sect. Who would dare to stand up against him? Under the circumstances, no one tried to question the false teaching of Grandmaster Kobo. Venerable Anen criticized Kobo a little, but his criticism was limited to Kobo's assertion that the Lotus Sutra was inferior to the Flower Garland Sutra, verifying, in effect, that the Lotus Sutra was inferior to the Great Sun Buddha Sutra. He was merely a so-called go-between. Okay. So, we can see that Nichiren is addressing the question by pointing out the essential, words. The core of the misunderstanding that these other sects present. Taking off my rheumatoid glove because it's itching me. Don't want to disturb you with that as I'm talking. So we're not even 20 minutes into this. Let's get into this next section. So this next section, he's going to take on each school. This one is the Pure Land, then the Zen school, then the Shingon school. So many, not many, but several of you have asked me about the Pure Land Sutras, the Pure Land sect, not Nembutsu directly, but basically. So this is the first one he's going to tackle because in his day, it was his most popular foe, enemy, not directly to Nichiren, but causing Nichiren no end of problems because Nichiren was an envoy, a votary of Lotus Sutra Buddhism. And Pure Land people weren't having it. So here's refutation of the Pure Land School. Again, starting with a simple question this time, one sentence. What is wrong with these three schools of Buddhism? Okay, I haven't said enough. I haven't shown you how misleading they are. I haven't shown you that you yourself are basing your ideas on non-Buddhist ideas. Non-Buddhist ideas of magic and exactly the delusion that keeps us unenlightened. So posing as a Buddhist, you actually are an enemy of the Buddha because you're preventing enlightenment from happening. So the question quite simply is, what do you mean? Right? So answer. The Pure Land School was founded by priest Tan Luan during the reign of the Qi dynasty in China. Originally, he studied the San Lun school, but upon reading Bodhisattva Nagarjuna's commentary on the 10 stages, he insisted there are ways easy to practice and difficult to practice in Buddhism. That's what he took away from it. During the Tang, Zen master Tao Cho, who had originally been preaching the Nirvana Sutra, converted to the Pure Land School upon reading priest Tan Luan's writings, revealing his conversation to the Pure Land. He maintained that there are two ways of attaining Buddhahood. The holy way, by putting into practice the holy teachings of the Buddha. I'd like to know which teachings exactly those are. And the Pure Land way, by being born in the Pure Land of the Buddha of infinite life. Obviously not this life. In addition, a disciple of Tao Cho, Shan Tao, by name, differentiated the correct practice from the miscellaneous practices in Buddhism, calling the recitation of the Nembutsu the correct practice leading to birth in the Pure Land. This is painful to read. A priest named Honen appeared in Japan during the reign of Emperor Gotoba, 200 years after the beginning of the latter day, or latter age. He propagated the recitation of the name of the Buddha of infinite life, the Nembutsu, to everybody, monks and nuns, as well as lay followers of Buddhism, by saying, quote, "The teachings of the Buddha must be preached according to the time as well as the intelligence and the conviction of the congregation." So right away, the slander that some of you can't attain Buddhahood because you're too dumb. How is that even Buddhism? Anywhere in Buddhism. How they came to this to program people into their way of believing, it's obvious authoritarianism. It's obvious you're too slow, you're not capable. Let me do it for you. Here, I'll show you, and then you can just do and be happy with that. It's heinous. And that's why, you know, translators use words like sin and you know, these are religious terms. Because sins aren't real. What actions you take either promote your gorgeous, amazing life manifested fully, or they contradict it. That is a profound error. How is it a sin? Whose wealth are you, misusing? Or more profoundly, which teaching are you abusing and working against, disassembling, and recreating in some image of derision and samsaric attachment? How can you do that in Buddhism? That's a profound error, and it's an error that affects everyone. Yeah? Such sutras as the Lotus Sutra and the Great Sun Buddha and 8 or 9 schools of Buddhism such as Tendai Shingon, that is to say, all the Buddhist sutras and practices of Mahayana, Hinayana, exoteric, esoteric, provisional, and true teachings preached by the Buddha during his lifetime are for those with superior intelligence and firm resolve during the 2,000-year ages of the true Dharma and the semblance Dharma. They are of no use in the latter age of degeneration, no matter how rigidly they are put into practice. Because you're too stupid. Moreover, if one tries to put them into practice while reciting the name of the Buddha of infinite life, the recitation of the Nembutsu would not help him to be reborn in the pure land of the Buddha of infinite life. Of course not, because you can't prove it in the first place. So how can you disprove it? This is not my own arbitrary statement. Oh, hell yeah, it is. Bodhisattva Nagarjuna and priest Tan Luan said that all sutras and practices other than the recitation of the Nembutsu were ways too difficult to practice. I don't know how he misconstrued that from Nichiren and Tan Luan. Nichiren doesn't get deep into that. But he has talked about it in the past and how it's... really just a matter of word of mouth, going from one mouth to another's ears with an agenda that they want to promote, and they use those teachings to justify their clarity. Tao Cho revealed them, saying that no one had ever attained Buddhahood by means of them, and Shan Tao declared that not even 1 out of 1,000 would attain Buddhahood through their ways. This is just their arbitrary judgment. Being masters of different Buddhist schools, they might have some doubts about being reborn in the Pure Land by recitation of the Nembutsu, even though that's what they're saying. Venerable Eshin, probably the wisest among the scholars of the Tendai and Shingon schools, has written in the preface to the Essential Collection concerning rebirth in the Pure Land that teachings of exoteric and esoteric Buddhism are not the way for ignorant men like himself to attain emancipation from sufferings of life and death. You should also look at such writings as The 10 Reasons for Rebirth in the Pure Land by Yokan of the Sanran school. Therefore, you should throw away such teachings as the Tendai, Lotus, and Shingon, concentrating solely on reciting the Nembutsu. Then all of you, 10 out of 10, 100 out of 100, will be able to be reborn in the Pure Land of the Buddha of infinite life, which obviously happens after you die, after you live this one. Oh my goodness. This is religion. It's not Buddhism. Nichiren continues. Although such temples as the Enrakukuji on Mount Hiei and Toji, the Onjoji, and the 7 great temples in Nara at first seem to argue against Honen, Abbot Kenshin of the Enrakukuji Temple was converted to be a disciple of Honen, as words in the preface to the essential collection concerning rebirth in the Pure Land seemed reasonable to him. In other words, he sought to be included in the exclusive club that was attached to the elite and the ruling class. He wasn't convinced by the argument. He played that he was convinced by the argument to be part of the what seemed like the winning group at the time. Politics, greed, ego, yeah? Even those who did not become disciples of Honen recited the name of the Buddha of Infinite Life as though humming a song, in a way different from reciting the names of the other Buddhas, greatly favoring this. As a result, it seemed that everybody in Japan appeared to be a disciple of Priest Honen. Because it's easy, right? Running around, Namu Amida Butsu, Namu Amida Butsu, Amida Butsu, and just like a little song to comfort people. Because I don't have to worry about it now, whether I'm doing it right or wrong, because it'll happen after I'm dead and gone. So what's the harm in singing this? Well, it's not Buddhism. As all the people in Japan, without exception, have become disciples of Priest Honen during these past 50 years, everybody in Japan, without exception, has become a slanderer of the true Dharma. Because they're calling it Buddhism and it isn't. For example, if 1,000 children get together and killing one parent, all of them are guilty of committing the 5 rebellious errors or sins. If one of them falls into the hell of incessant suffering, why not all of the rest? They're all guilty of the crime. Just because you have more of them doesn't distribute the guilt. Yeah? I mean, distribute by means of, well, they all get 1% of the guilt of killing a parent. No, they all fully killed a parent. That's not hard to understand. Resentful of having been banished, Honen became an evil spirit hunting the ruler of Japan by the haunting the ruler of Japan and the monks of Mount Hiei and in the Anjoji temple, who had been responsible for punishing him and his disciples, causing them to rebel and do evil deeds, right? In the end, they were all destroyed by the Kamakura shogunate. The remaining few monks on Mount Hiei and in the Toji temple have been slighted by laymen and women, just as monkeys are laughed at by people or prisoners, are disdained even by children. So there was a great retribution when the shogunate came to power and didn't accept all of this magical thinking, right? And yet, the populace remains unguided. So Nietzsche, you must imagine in this state of affairs, Nietzsche felt very, his self-exegesis, his outrage at the slander, the debasing of Buddha's teachings, Shakyamuni's teachings, by these charlatans, these people of highly questionable motives, had destroyed this perfect teaching. I've got to say something, right? This is Nietzsche's position. And now he's going to take on the Zen school. Taking advantage of the decline of Mount Hiei, Toji, and the other temples, Zen monks deceived the people by pretending to be sages upholding precepts. Well, obviously, all of these temples and great religious leaders were set about and astray because they didn't have any principles. They didn't follow the rules. We're the rule followers. We're going to set things straight. There's your Zen monks. As they appear so noble in countenance, nobody feels any suspicion, no matter how madly they preach their false views and doctrines. The Zen school insists on, quote, transmission of the Dharma outside of the sutras. That is to say, Shakyamuni Buddha's enlightenment was not revealed in Buddhist scriptures, but was transmitted directly to Venerable Kashyapa when he talked to the Venerable in whispers. Therefore, the Zen school insists that trying to study Buddhist scriptures without knowing the Zen school is just like a dog barking at a thunder or a monkey trying to grasp the reflection of the moon. Because it is as false teaching suited to those in Japan who have been abandoned by parents because of their disobedience, disowned by masters because of their discourtesy, or young monks who are lazy in studying, or those who have the maddening character of a prostitute, they are all converted to Zen Buddha, the Zen school. Like that will somehow cleanse them, right? Pretending to behave properly according to Buddhist precepts, they all have been grasshoppers feeding on the farmers of Japan. So the heaven stares its eyes out and terrestrial deities tremble, causing strange phenomena in the sky and the natural calamities on earth. Now that's more that Buddhist hyperbole, right? But Nichiren is trying to reach into these people who are still tainted by magical thinking, to use their own magical thinking against the magical thinking. I don't think that would work today, but Nichiren is trying to do as his master Shakyamuni, Tendai, Miao Lo, Dengyo have taught. Turn the light on in the attic. Make it obvious what's happening here. And now he goes on to the Shingon school. Should I take this on? We might run a little long if I do that. Yeah, he gets into it quite deeply. We'll leave the refutation of the Shingon school for the next video. I hope you understand what's happening here and why Nichiren, first of all, he's flexing his knowledge, isn't he? He's really showing us that he's no slouch. He's not practicing Lotus Sutra Buddhism because he wants to be favored or considered the best or the wisest among all. He's refuting the outright derision and the sheeple, the authoritarian tendency in humankind, which we're in today. How easy is it to spring up a great disagreement in our world today? Look at what just happened in Buffalo. A bunch of loudmouth racist invoking anger and hatred have stoked somebody out of his mind to go in and shoot a bunch of people. Now, yes, the responsibility lies with the individual who let himself overtake his thought, nurture his negativity, and go in and kill a bunch of people. What could that possibly resolve or engage? How is that person making a point? The only point that person is making is how deluded and sick he is. And we all see it. So why don't we maintain that simple understanding that ultimately, yes, that was a very sick person, but he was greatly influenced by the loud mouths of sickness who themselves, we've also demonstrated, don't believe what they're saying. They just enjoy fomenting unrest. It gives them some sense of their ego, some sense of power. Look what I did. Oh, no, it's not my fault. He's sick. How in 2022 have we not evolved beyond this freaking schoolyard bullying and stupidity? How? It's time to wake up. It's time to disconnect from that rhetoric and that stupidity. Don't watch it. Don't listen to it. Don't support it. Turn it off. Occupy your song and your Buddha mind with the sound of Buddha. You will quell those voices. And over time, they will cease to come toward you because they're attracted like flies to a light. But ultimately, if enough of them perish, if enough of them cease to get anything from you, they will see you as something not to bother with, and they will move away. That's karma changing. That's your karma as a human being, manifesting such a strong essence of Buddha that it repels. Remember, affects your surroundings. Your world is yours. And the strength of your Buddha-ness protects you. It's not a permanent armor, but it does protect you. It can be penetrated. So you need to remain alert, continue evolving and deepening your relationship with your Buddha-ness. And the other side of that is that as you radiate that life-affirming becoming existence, those who are not so easily convinced by the heinous errors of these evil players will start to seek you out or find solace and support for their own manifestation of Buddha-ness in their mind. This is the Bodhisattva work. This is what we're trying to do with this channel. When you like, subscribe especially, and our numbers grow. Even in YouTube, an algorithm provides that kind of growing influence. Yeah. So please, please subscribe. Please share this opportunity for study and self-personal growth. Yeah. Keep your practice strong. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. But just be kind. It's not a mandate from heaven. It produces results in yourself and as you radiate to others. Yeah. It's a real simple formula. Download the audio podcast. Have them handy. Go to threefoldlotus.com and get some documents downloaded on some key questions that will help you not only to wrap your own understanding around these concepts in Buddhism, but to have ready dialogue when somebody asks you a question about it. I don't know what to say. Well, just repeat. First thing always, daimoku, daimoku, daimoku. That's the source of this. Open the door. Before you start trying to feed people and shove sandwiches and steak dinners through a door, open the freaking door. Invite inward so that they can experience for themselves truth. Yeah? Namo Myōren Geikyō. We are so, so fortunate to have those of you patrons who either on Patreon or through PayPal donate support to this Sangha. We are so fortunate for your participation. Thank you. I finally said that in a good way. I've never really found the words that suited my appreciation and our appreciation for your participation. But don't worry if you don't have the financial fortune to help us grow in that way. Your eyeballs, your ears, your practice, that is what we need here. That is just as vital. Yeah? Take care of yourselves. A lot of health issues in the world today, and I don't want to make a prediction, but we have a lot of reasons, I think, to be wary of our future. Let's change that. Let's turn that around. We can. Take care of yourselves. Again, be kind. I so much appreciate your practice and your participation. And I'll see you in the next one. Thanks again. And I will see you then. And what do I say? Bye for now.